When Lois Thady was a small child in Alaska, she learned the tradition of her Aleut people at the knees of her elders, cooking, weaving, music.
I remember as a little girl laying underneath chairs and feeling the drum vibrations in the floors. When I was in boarding school, that was a sound that my ears were lonesome for.
Thady spent most of her childhood far away from her home and the traditions she loved so much. As Marcy Silman explains, the journey back took more than 15 years.
Lois Thady is a small, round woman with short, white hair. Her formal name is Lois Chichnikov Thady, but everyone calls her Louie. She says white people had trouble pronouncing the native Aleut language. When Louie was still a toddler, her mother left her and her dad in Alaska. Louie's father wasn't around much either.
I was with grannies that had babushkas and spoke the old languages, and I learned how to talk like they did. And family members have said that at the time, at maybe 3 and 4 even, that I was talking like I was a 60-year-old grandma bossing people around.
And she was imitating the things the grannies did. Louie remembers helping the old women collect berries and bark and grasses. The grannies showed the little girl how to smoke salmon, how to weave a basket. All that ended in 1949 when Louie Thady was 7 years old. A U.S. law mandated that Native kids be sent off to special boarding schools to learn white culture. Thady was put on a train from Minnesota.
It was pretty traumatic. Yeah. They stick a little piece of paper on you that's got your name and where you're going. The only problem with all that was there wasn't a piece of paper that had my return address on it. So when I did get out of boarding school, I didn't know where to go. Nobody tells kids anything, you know.
Apparently they didn't tell the grannies anything either. Nobody from Ketchikan ever contacted her in Minnesota, and Louie Thady was too young to remember where home was. That was 60 years ago, but for Thady, the images of the Catholic-run boarding school in St. Paul are still painfully vivid.
We couldn't speak our language, and we couldn't do cultural things because we got punished. The words that we remembered, anything that we remembered about our homes is what we would whisper under the covers, and at night, every so often, a sister in those days, they wore their habits. One of them would swish through quietly, and we'd be underneath our covers being quiet until she was gone.
The kids traded stories and secrets, and they tried to hold on to the things they learned from their families, their native traditions. For Thady, it was the weaving her Alaskan grannies had taught her.
We would take bits of string and weave them into something, and then unweave them and turn them back into what they look like, a piece of hair ribbon or something, so that nobody would catch us weaving.
Any kind of craft, even commercial weaving, was out of reach for the Indian boarding school kids.
We weren't going to be that elegant a factory worker, more like mucking out the trough or something like that. We weren't being schooled for much.
When Louie Thady turned 15, her boarding school tenure was over. Thady was put out without a nickel to her name.
I remember they had taken us one time to a rose garden, and it was the sweetest place. And I slept under the roses the first night. And I thought, this would be okay. It's so much better than the school. But it just got rougher day after day, and the winters were pretty brutal, and I didn't know how to do anything different.
Thady had no contacts for her Alaska relatives. The police picked her up for vagrancy. Thady'd heard of Boys Town and told them she wanted to go there, but no girls were allowed. So Thady talked her way into a variety of day jobs, from picking onions to ironing clothes.
And then I got a job in a Lakeside Plastics making Miller High Life beer signs. That's sort of arty. Yeah.
Actually, making art wasn't something Louie Thady had given much thought to, as a child or as an adult.
The word art wasn't in our language. And it wasn't something that we did on the side. It was part of everyday life.
Making beer signs, weaving hats and baskets, they were things you did to get along with living. Louie Thady liked to make things. She liked to use her hands. So that's what she did, job to job, city to city in the Midwest. That's what she thought her life would be. Then in 1971, the Alaska Native Land Claims Settlement was signed. It was an attempt to give native tribes restitution for their traditional homelands and the natural resources discovered on them.
There was an advertisement in a magazine on the back page, I think it was Time, showed a picture of a little girl sitting on the steps, and it says, "This little girl is an Arctic heiress. You could be one, too, if you're an Alaska Native," or something like that. "Call 1-800-LA-DA-DA." So I called 1-800-LA-DA-DA, and the person that I talked to was named Elaine Itakiak. And she told me where my family was. She told me my auntie had already enrolled me.
All of a sudden, Louis Thady wasn't a young girl all alone. She had a family in Ketchikan. Thady's father was still alive, but in bad health. A friend lent her the money for a bus ticket to Alaska. It was time for Louis Thady to go home.
And eventually I snagged a sweetie, and we bought a little house out in the Puckertoolies and the Boonies, and we call it the bush out there. And I loved it. It was like being six again. I go out and hunt and gather all day, and I was still collecting grasses and skinny things, not really sure what to do with them. And I'd twiddle around with them, but could never make sense out of it. It was six-year-old twiddling.
But Thady says the memory of weaving was in her fingers. She looked for people who could show her what to do with those skinny grasses.
It seemed like as I'd learned something, something else had come back from the depths of memory or from the memory in the fingers. And it all began to piece together. And I don't know much, but what I do know, my newbies and my advanced weavers are willing to take a few days a year to learn. Oh, come on in. Scratch your feet on the big
Louis
red
Thady
carpet.
Teaches weaving now. On a rainy Saturday morning, a dozen women of all ages converge on her home near Olympia for a day of lessons.
Is you are going to find a stick to fit your little guy. Some of you have done the triple twine around. That'll be from the east side of the island.
Thady and two more experienced students help those newbies struggle to transform nests of thin wax twine into basket bottoms. Eventually, the students will use some of the dried grasses that are tied in sheafs and stacked against the walls of Thady's cozy living room.
I need to teach it. I need to give it away and pass on what I know so that ultimately my learners can connect with somebody else and end up with a whole something. So what I do know, I'm passing to these gals who made the commitment to, in their hands, retain the memory of what is Aleut weaving, and then teach it to other people who ask about it.
Few, if any, of Thady's students are Native Alaskans. That's not as important to her as keeping the craft going.
I'm a part of a string of weavers and Aleuts who do what they've done for centuries, and it's an evolutionary thing. I consider myself traditional, but I'm not going to be wearing a seal bladder raincoat, but I am going to be wearing London fog.
Even though there's no word in the Aleut language for it, these days Lois Thady does consider herself to be an artist. She says during the week, when she's not thinking about her job with Washington State's Department of Social and Health Services, she's dreaming about her next weaving project. Louis Thady's come a long way from the time when she had to hide her weaving under her blanket at night. But she just smiles when you ask if her journey has a happy ending.
Oh, it hasn't ended yet. It's just starting, yeah.
With that, Louis Thady turns that smile to her room full of weaving students.
Look at you go, girl.
They called her Louis, but her name was Lois Thady, Aleut Weaver. That from a series called Old Masters, put together by Marcy Soman. Some great profiles of some of the masters in our midst. You can find more about that by going to our website, kuow.org, and look for Old Masters.